We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. And now it's time for our Brain Trust segment. And with us today is truly an extraordinary man, George McCown, who's the one of the founders of McCown DeLew. It's a private investment company, and he's also the chairman of the World Business Academy. He's a chairman of Outward Bound USA, and all around just a beautiful human being, and also a very intelligent one. And with that, George, thank you so much for joining us again. And, you know, the economy is on everybody's mind, and you, is from all of your angles, whether it's through World Business Academy or through the different in industries that you've invested in, you have your own unique perspective on where we are and possibly where we're headed. So can you enlighten us here?
Yeah, I'm very happy to do that. Unfortunately, I'm afraid my news isn't particularly good. We view this current business cycle that we're in now as not a typical business cycle. It's very much akin to, if it's akin to anything in my lifetime, it's akin to the dot-com bubble, except the dot-com bubble was much more limited to the technology market, which of course is a large market, but nowhere near the size of the housing market. And the housing market, frankly, is just the beginning of the story, because housing relates not only to homes and mortgages and all the various things that have been going on, both good and bad, in that market, but also the issues of employment and household formation and consumer wealth accretion over the period of years here and so on, so that it's truly a pervasive problem this time. It is not as much confined as it was in the 2001-2002 period, in our opinion. We think that the actions that were taken, appropriate actions in many ways, to help the economy come out of the dot-com bubble, very low interest rates, availability of money, and the accelerating availability of money have driven in the housing market to overbuild and to overprice, and that whole bubble is in the process of unwinding. In the process of the securitization of mortgages, which was the first big thing that opened up the housing market to a broader range of people back in the 1980s, we became securitization happy on Wall Street, so that we have been creating new kinds of financial instruments. I won't even go into all the names, but you've heard them: CDOs, CLOs, subprime pools, alternatives, this and so on, so that there's a vast pool of securitized instruments, financial instruments out there. Some of the estimates I've seen are that it's something on the order of $45 trillion that are floating out there. Nobody really knows who owns them, other than that they're owned all over the world, not only by banks, certainly in this country, and individuals, but by sovereign nations abroad and financial institutions abroad. And all of those things are being affected by the unwinding of credit and the fear that people have as to what's next. So the biggest thing that we see is that there's going to be a continuing devaluation of assets in general, homes in particular, and that as more shoes drop, there probably will be additional fear in the markets. There certainly is huge fear today in the lending community, so that the credit has become very, very difficult for not only individuals, but also for really quite well-qualified companies. So we see this as a worldwide massive credit contraction, and along with that, worldwide asset devaluation in those asset classes that have become overvalued as a result of this cycle we've been in. And there's also a very new phenomenon called the sovereign wealth funds, the sovereign nations, where countries like Russia, like China, like India, are actually acting as mega companies and making contracts, particularly on things like materials and oil and coal and things like that, to protect their sourcing so that we may have issues of availability of some of these really critical products to people like us in the United States, not only because of high prices, but because of just simply the availability of being able to get the resources. So it is not a pretty picture at all. We think that the Fed has moved appropriately and aggressively. The moves they've made have been absolutely necessary. They're going to have to make some more. The Paulson proposal that was put forth yesterday, day before yesterday, to the Congress is, if anything, on the light side, but nevertheless needs to be acted upon. It is frankly discouraging to see the knee-jerk reaction of the various special interest groups, including Congress people, to the proposal, because we're going to have to take dramatic government action to put in circuit breakers to stop this from being an all-out rout on the scale of back in the 1930s. That is our view. The optimistic side is we believe, because we have people like Bernanke and Paulson and others who are really, really smart people and very experienced people at the helm in these major places, that we will get the action that is necessary to put in the circuit breakers to stop this from being an all-out rout. And so we are optimistic that the outcome need not be as dire as it otherwise could be.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Are we all done? Maybe that's the question. Are we all cooked?
No, it isn't. I mean, but it is really a different scenario, because the scale of the excess is on a scale that we probably haven't ever seen in our lifetimes. And the unwinding, therefore, is going to be on a scale that we have probably never seen in our lifetimes. But we do have government mechanisms, and we have some awfully savvy people that are working this problem awfully hard. And we're going to have to really cooperate. The Congress is going to have to get off of its do-nothing stance and its knee-jerk negative reaction to everything that's proposed by the current administration, and get with it, because there isn't time. This is not something we can play politics with. We don't have the time. And so my urging to your listeners would be, by all means, call your congressman, write your congressman to support the proposals that are being put forth to help mitigate the effects of this massive unwinding, because if we don't, we're going to have a real problem.
George, thank you so much for your sage advice. We really appreciate your insights.
You bet. Have hope.
Well, as we wind up another program here on Inside Wealth, I think it's really clear that the next year, two, or possibly beyond, may be really difficult in terms of our economic reality. Some people, like George McCown, may think it's going to be something that we haven't even seen in this generation before. Others, like Steve McClellan, think that maybe it's merely a two-year incident, or perhaps 4 years, which for many of us could seem like eternity. Especially to the extent that we do have loans out there, to the extent that our jobs, or even if we're self-employed, that our revenues coming in may not be what they were. We may be in for some serious economic reality and economic tightening. And what does that mean for us? What does it mean for you? You know, on one level, we could go to a place of fear. Oh my God, how am I going to get my kids through school? How am I going to pay my bills? What's going to happen to me? And it's very, you know, that's, you know, what the Great Depression was all about, in a way, where a lot of jobs were lost and a lot of people couldn't afford any kind of lifestyle. which I'm not to say this is what it's going to be this time, but it is clear that Steve McClellan's title of Full of Bull extends to many aspects of our economy. And it's not just the Wall Street analysts who are tossing bull around with a positive bias and a positive spin. You know, we certainly see that in our government officials and how they're talking about the economy, whether it's Paulson or whomever. And we just don't know. What we do know is this whole notion I mentioned in the very brief cup of stew is this notion of the golden calf, which, if you know, memory serves, and we go back to the time of Moses where he goes up and gets the Ten Commandments and the burning bush and all of that. He comes down and to see all the Israelites there, or soon-to-be Israelites, having crossed out of slavery, the Red Sea being parted, and then they're worshiping some piñata or something. Well, is it really any different now? Aren't our lives so often based on the economic reality? And if we aren't buying the latest things, if we aren't completely hooked in to the materialism, isn't it very easy to judge ourselves as being, you know, unworthy or not good or not lovable or not smart or not capable or not enough of something? Isn't it so easy to go there? Just on our own, let alone what anybody else could possibly think of us, which is a lot of this jonesing going on, right? Don't we, all of us, in many ways, live our life on the Jones principle? And how are we doing next to the Jones down the street? If I got a little bit more money than them, I can feel good about myself. If I don't, I don't. And isn't it time, just like Eckhart Tolle with Oprah Winfrey and going into this new earth and taking a look at this thing called ego, where so much of it is wrapped up in what other people think of us, and so much of it is wrapped up in this thing called money. Isn't it time for us at least to have our eyes open and awaken to the kind of wealth that's really inside us, first and foremost, as something that nobody can take from us, whether it's during tax season and the IRS as we're writing our checks, or whether it's during an economic contraction, where maybe the bull does hit the fan and spits out, you know, comes out the bull's back end? Because it's a real possibility. And if you take a look at it, I think we all know on a deep level, and it's borne out by statistics, that in general, the American public has been spending more money than it's been making for years. And after a while, we just get numb to it. And one of the primary reasons we've been able to do that is because our land prices have gone up, our real estate has gone up, and we've been able to borrow more money against that, which is all fine and well and good so long as that tune keeps playing. But what happens when the tune stops? Then it becomes a game of musical chairs. And dare I say, if it unwinds, where they start playing it in reverse, where all of a sudden a house that we thought was worth, you know, $400,000 is now worth $250,000 or $300,000, and we've borrowed money that may be up to $300,000 on a what we thought was a $400,000 house at a peak valuation, all of a sudden, we have no equity in our home. And for so many of us, that's our entire or a good portion of our life savings. So what are we to do? You know, Steve McClellan, in terms of from an investment standpoint, take a look at the longer picture. Take a look at what we can risk on the downside, and take a good look first at keeping your principal, the return of investment, and then the return on investment in terms of what we could make. And George McCown is talking about, you know, we may be in for some really tough times, and in which case we're going to have new ways to view ourselves, to view each other, and this economy. And I'm going to invite you all to consider that hopefully we don't need to have times be so rough for us to understand that we're all family here and that we're one human planet and that it is time for us to band together, to serve each other, to care for each other in ways that are truly unprecedented in our lives. And it's time to pay more attention to it. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at InsideWealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW. Started up a brand new day. Turn the clock to zero, pass the rivers wide and swim across me. Started up.